Real estate has long been an incredible avenue for investors. It offers a variety of opportunities to build wealth. So there's a lot of things you want to consider. If you are hearing this and you never bought a house before, here's my number one piece of advice. Do that 10 times over the next 20 years and you'll earn about $2.5 million tax-free on top of your earned income. So what type of real estate investing do I recommend? Well, it depends. Hi, I'm Candy Valentino, and for the last 25 years, I've been building businesses and generating wealth, starting my first business when I was just 19. Since then, I've gone on to build, scale, acquire, and exit businesses, all while investing in real estate and building financial freedom. Now, it's all about you and why we're bringing you the real story behind building businesses and generating wealth here at The Candy Valentino Show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Candy Valentino Show. I'm so glad that you are tuning in with me today as we continue our commitment to bring you the no BS, the unfiltered, the unapologetic information you need to make more, keep more, and ultimately create the rich life of your dreams. And today is no exception as we continue our second episode of this four-part real estate investing series, and we are going to unpack the pros and cons to short-term and long-term real estate investing. Now, this is not to be confused with short-term or long-term rentals, and I'll explain the difference in a second. First, let's acknowledge that real estate has long been an incredible avenue for investors. It offers a variety of opportunities to build wealth. And one of the key decisions all real estate investors will ever face is deciding whether you want to pursue short-term or long-term real estate investments. Let's dive into the differences between the two approaches and examine the tax benefits, the risks, and potential payoffs associated with each. Short-term real estate investing typically involves buying a property with the intention of selling it relatively quickly, often within that first year. This would most commonly be under the flipping umbrella. Here are some things to know about that. Number one, the taxes. Short-term capital gains from real estate are typically taxed at your ordinary income rate. And if you haven't already, go back to the prior episode. We unpack all of this in the first episode of this series. The tax rates can be quite high, and when you're earning income on the side and you add capital gains on top, it will take you into even higher income brackets. Deductions that are available to short-term investors may also be limited compared to long-term investors who will benefit from depreciations and deductions like the 1031 exchanges. So let's cover number two, because this is pretty important. When you're dealing with short-term, you might have a little bit more market volatility and be more open to market fluctuations, because economic downturns or unexpected events can lead to a reduced profit or even a loss if the property doesn't appreciate as much as anticipated, or if you're flipping and it takes you longer and you're paying interest on that money. So there's a lot of things you want to consider. Another is the transaction costs. When you are buying properties and acquiring them and then selling them on the other side, this will lead to higher transaction costs like real estate commissions, closing costs, the interest that you're paying on that money, fees for that money, and of course, taxes. So let's go on the other side of this. What are the payoffs for short term? Let's cover liquidity. Short-term investors have advantage of faster access to cash and receiving that potential upside. So this can be really beneficial if you need funds or you're trying to make more earned income or have additional financial goals. There's also a potential for a higher ROI. And in some cases, short-term investors can achieve a higher return if they successfully time the market, or they successfully acquire the property, or they successfully get it at the right price, which will then give you more significant and rapid appreciation. But we also got to look at the flip side of this. When we look at long-term real estate investing, which involves buying and holding properties for an extended period of time, typically several years or decades, it's a long-term financial play. Here are some things to know when it comes to real estate long-term investing. Number one, tax benefits. Long-term capital gains rates from real estate are taxed at lower rates than short-term gains, which can obviously result in significant tax savings. Number two, the depreciation deductions. Long-term investors can take advantage of depreciation deductions, which will then ultimately reduce your taxable income and lower your overall tax liability. And then, of course, like we covered in last episode, the 1031 exchange. Long-term investors can use a 1031 exchange to defer those taxes while selling one property and purchasing another. We talked about this in depth in the first episode of this series, so go back if you didn't watch that. Number two, risks. So as opposed to liquidity of the short-term investments, you have illiquidity in long-term investments. Typically, your capital is tied up. It's less accessible for other purposes. And this could be a disadvantage if you need quick access to cash. The next, market risk. The real estate market can always fluctuate over time. And while long-term investors may benefit from market appreciation, they too were exposed to changes in the market. And although in long-term investing, generally speaking, if you plan to keep a property for 10, 20, 30 years, you'll typically ride out any significant market pullbacks or any resets. Here's the thing with long-term holds. All of the data, all of the research supports that even if you do it wrong, even if you buy at the incorrect price or not at the perfect time in the market, as long as you wait for the market to go through each of the four cycles from recovery to expansion to hypersupply, then recession, which is all influenced by population, interest rates, market volume, the overall health of the economy. Even when we look back to the crash of 2008 that everybody talks about and everybody says is going to duplicate itself, even when we look back at that, according to the U.S. National Home Price, the NSA Index, housing prices fell by 27.4% from their peak in 2006 to their low point in 2012. 27.4, ouch. But guess how long it took for home values to recover? You'll never guess. I was shocked. I actually thought it wasn't even this, and I know I was through 2008. It took 3.5 years for the market to recover. Now, some of those same areas that got hit the hardest have record median and record per square foot price home values now. It's all how the market cycles, which leads us to number three, potential payoffs. Passive income. That's key. Cash flow. Long-term investors can generate consistent rental income, providing steady cash flow that can be used for living expenses, reinvestment, or other financial goals. And of course, this all ties into wealth building. Over time, those property values are going to appreciate, at least we hope they will, potentially leading to substantial wealth accumulation. Long-term investors benefit from compounding growth, just like compound interest. So now that we've covered some of the short-term versus the long-term investing strategies, I want to talk about short-term and long-term rentals. You'll find economists saying that Airbnb is collapsing, citing that revenues per listing for certain areas like Phoenix and Austin and other large cities across the U.S., that according to all the data from All the Rooms, which compares Airbnb revenues per listing, when they looked at May 2022 versus May 2023, they found that it's down almost 50%. Now, Airbnb and other sources can test these numbers as being false, citing that, as we said during our first quarter earnings, more guests are traveling on Airbnb than ever before, with nights and experiences booked growing 19% in the first quarter of 2023 compared to a year ago. But here's what they didn't talk about. What are the prices like? What's the per night price like for each one of those rooms, homes, booked? More travelers might be getting into Airbnb, but that doesn't mean that it's great for the property owner. Airbnb might be an incredible, innovative platform that has totally transformed travel in so many ways. But what about the property owners? Remember, running Airbnb properties is not passive income. Now, that's not to say that it can't be great income. I know so many people that have massive properties and portfolios in Airbnb, and they make great money, but it's not passive. It doesn't qualify you for the same tax deductions as long-term investing, and it's taxed as your active and earned income. And although the payoffs can potentially be higher and the rents can definitely be more significant than a long-term hold, do you really want to operate a hospitality business? Like, is that why you're getting into real estate? And if the answer is yes, that's okay. But just know what it is that you're building. And speaking of the hospitality industry, all of the data from 2022, which is from AirDNA, shows that more than 85% of travelers still stay in hotels. So is it worth the trade-off? That's for you to decide. Like I said, I have friends with tens of millions in Airbnb properties. I have others who have hundreds of millions in long-term rentals, and they would never even consider one. It just all comes down to you, what you want. So what type of real estate investing do I recommend? Well, it depends. Choosing between short-term and long-term real estate truly depends on three things: your financial goals, your risk tolerance, and your overall investment strategy, period. If you are hearing this and you never bought a house before, here's my number one piece of advice. If you've never bought a house before, you only get to do this once. Rather than going out and doing what everybody tells you to do and society says, the big, beautiful house with the white picket fence, and you buy the house exactly at the top dollar that the bank tells you that you can afford, don't do that. Do something completely different. If you want a different result for your life, you got to do something different with your decisions. So what do? You go out and you buy a duplex, a triplex, or a small quad apartment building. You only get one time in your life that you can get an FHA loan, first-time home buyers, where you only have to put 3.5% of your own hard cash out for that house. When you do that, you're able to then live in that unit. Whether it's a duplex or the upstairs of a triplex, you live in it for at least a year, you fix it up, you do everything that you need to do, and then after 1 year, you move out. You put someone else in that unit that you were living in, and now you have a cash flowing asset. You also, during your year of living there, you actually got a lot of your living expenses and the mortgage of the home paid for because you had other units that you were renting out. This is the number one thing that you can do to set yourself up in the beginning. Now, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, Candy, that's great, but I already bought a house. I can't use this house hack strategy that you're talking about. That's okay. The very safest way for you to start investing, again, this isn't what everyone should do, but this is just a very safe way for the average person to start investing in real estate. If you don't want to go out and buy an investment property or you don't have a really high risk tolerance, the safest thing you can do is to buy a home in your area in which you know. Buy the ugliest house on the street, the one that's been sitting on the market for a year, a house that was maybe priced below all the other comps in the area that needs a lot of work. Move into it, renovate it, live in it for 2 years. After 2 years, sell it. Currently, you'll get a $250,000 primary residence exclusion on the profit of that sale. Then you can go find another house to rinse and repeat. Do that 10 times over the next 20 years. Yeah, you'll be moving every 2 years, but you'll basically eliminate your living expenses for your life, and you'll earn about $2.5 million tax-free on top of your earned income. Now, of course, there are so many things that matter inside of that. You gotta make sure that you're buying it at the right price. You gotta make sure you're not overpaying for the renovation. And you have to make sure that your ARV, your after repair value of the home, is going to comp for what you need it to in the area. But if you do this right, it's pretty safe. If for some reason you can't sell the house, you can stay there a little longer. And this is a great way to safely invest in real estate. But ultimately, a well-balanced investment portfolio is what we all want. So whether it's stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, which are balanced, or a well-balanced investment portfolio with real estate that may include short-term and some long-term holdings, the goal is to take advantage of each of these benefits and to know the strategy while knowing your risk tolerance and managing those risks as much as possible. As with any investment, it is crucial to do your research, get professional help, and surround yourself with others who have experience in this area. Because one thing is for sure, your net worth will never outgrow your knowledge. Everyone's financial objectives are different and unique as their fingerprint, so decide what works best for you and your family. And if you're looking for business development or a deeper understanding of investment, which you can learn more about this stuff in depth or have monthly trainings and accountability groups and mastermind retreats, you can head over to candyvalentino.com, learn more about founders and some of the things that we've got going on. We have some exciting announcements in store for you. All right, guys, that is all for today's episode on the pros and cons of short-term and long-term real estate investing. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending this time with me. Be sure to drop a like and subscribe to the show. Feel free to leave me a question or a comment. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode. And if there was something that you loved or you had a specific takeaway, share it and tag me at Candy Valentino. And if you haven't yet, grab your copy of Wealth Habits everywhere books are sold. And for upcoming events or ways to stay connected, head over to candyvalentino.com. That's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We'll see you next time.